under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in St. Mary's at 91.3. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and the discussion that we have each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. We design our format, our programs designed around you, our listener. We always invite you to join in the dialogue and discussion by dialing 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. Let me remind you, we're speaking today on a very subject that I believe is very, very crucial to our local community. It's crucial on a national basis, but it's crucial to our local community in particular. Risking our children's future. Risking our children's future. Are we doing that? I believe that we are. We'll have a special guest in a few moments, right after the brief monologue that we'll introduce, and we'll be interviewing our special guest today. We'll be discussing the school board superintendent search. They have narrowed it down, I believe, to two. We'll be talking about those two candidates and what we as the citizens of Duval County should say and do, how we should respond to what is taking place, and what would be the better choice of the two, and why it is so vital, why it is so important today that we understand our educational system is in a quagmire, not just locally but nationally. And ladies and gentlemen, I say to you, I believe the Biden administration has done more to undermine, tear down, and destroy the greatness of American history of any president or any group of presidents put together. Our foundations are being destroyed. Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So as we face the issues, let me remind you once again, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's the truth book. It is the truth book. John 8:31 and 32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, made this statement. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made. Thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the word of God that endures forever, according to Psalms 117 and verse 2. May I say to you, truth is vital today, perhaps more so than in my lifetime, and I'm still less than 100 years old. But ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the secularist George Orwell, made a profound statement in his dystopian novel entitled 1984. By the way, that was published in the late 40s, and he projected what would happen in America in 1984. And he said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that to be vitally important, and that is a true statement even today. And truth does matter. Regardless of what you say about truth, regardless of how you have to mishandle truth, truth matters. It was the latest survey that said 55% of the millennials, that's 55% of the 18 to 35-year-old age group, say Americans have no such thing as absolute truth. No such thing as absolute truth. They go on to state in that survey, they say that each person determines his or her own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made a profound statement. He said, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real, yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in the Christian churches. I believe it's time, ladies and gentlemen, that we face the truth, stand for the truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge. That's my directive. That's my hope. It's my aspiration and goal each and every day on this broadcast. Is it for Christians, conservatives, and patriots that will seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn it, love it, tell it, live it, and be willing to stand and defend it, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Right at the intersection of the I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road, there's an identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole, U.S. flag Old Glory, flowing 24-7. Base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. They're closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got a brief monologue, and then we're going to introduce our special guest today. Let me ask you, as you call in today, try to keep your focus on your questions and comments, and let's focus on the school board race for the superintendent of schools. Not actually the race. It's where the school board's been trying to vet candidates for the school board superintendent. They've narrowed it down to two. We're going to talk about those two and get some insight today from our special guest in just a moment in relationship to which of the two we feel would be better qualified for the Duval County school system. But ladies and gentlemen, our school system is in a quandary. It's in a mess, if I could use that term, not just in Jacksonville, but on a national level. I'm looking at a headline, school invites a queer witch to teach 14-year-olds about dating. It's dated May 12, 2024. Parents in Pennsylvania School District are demanding answers after a queer witch was invited to speak to the 14-year-olds about sex and dating. It goes on to talk about they have it on, uploaded on YouTube. The controversy began last year when Denny Tobin delivered a speech to kids at the Unionville High School in Chester County, Pennsylvania. Tobin identifies as a biological woman, but she identifies as a genderqueer dude who uses male pronouns. This freaky witch had kids fill out sex-themed surveys, asking about their gender identity, their sexual activity, etc. Chad Williams is a local attorney, and he had a child in the classroom. He said at no time were parents alerted or given the chance to opt out their children from this kind of teaching in the classroom. Ladies and gentlemen, this is happening on a national basis. It's proliferating across our nation, where the sodomite LGBTQ agenda is being promulgated and pushed in the classroom, where abortion has been promulgated and pushed, transgenderism, and the now gender pronouns that some kids are wanting to use, and the parents are not knowledgeable of it, and the teachers will cover that and allow them to do so, even having the kids being counseled by their counselors in school through some transgender, trek that they would be on that would destroy their lives and destroy their capabilities for the balance of their lives. Our very foundations of morals and ethics and vice. In fact, it was Tony Perkins that said, Joe Biden has done more to destroy the faith, the family, and the freedom in America than any other group of presidents combined. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's Biden's goal and his immoral, ungodly, unholy entourage in each and every department, especially in the U.S. Department of Education, where there's a mindset to push the immoral LGBTQ agenda, the transsexual, transgender dysphoria. And executive order, he just recently, by fiat, changed in the Department of Education's Title IX, he's changed, tweaked it, he called it. And in the tweaking of that, now under the U.S. Department of Education rules, guidelines, and promulgated by Biden, the U.S. Department of Education will push the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. And with that change that Biden has insisted to be made in the U.S. Department of Education, every girl will be forced to allow male students to enter into the locker room, shower rooms, dressing rooms, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, on a national basis. I don't know about you. I think it's time parents rise up, stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, take control of the local school boards, and take control of the school boards in relationship to who we have as superintendents of schools in our cities across America. And more particularly, we're talking about in Duval County today. The changes, ladies and gentlemen, they're pushing now have been, how would you say, behind the scenes, tried and carried out to a major level in Duval County in the public school system. This is the reason just a few years ago, a couple of years ago, on this broadcast, I insisted that Dr. Green be released of her responsibilities, be fired, or that she resign. I'm thankful that took place. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a need today for the parents to get involved in the process that's taking place in relationship to the superintendent of schools in Duval County. I'm delighted today to have with us on the broadcast Holly Dean. Holly is with Moms for Liberty, and Holly is going to be sharing her viewpoints and her thoughts and questions in relationship to the two school board candidates for Duval County Schools. Holly, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to our lively dialogue and discussion and your thoughts and opinions on what's happening in our Duval County school system. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. It's a joy to be here.
Holly, I know that you're busy, 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 and you've been keeping an eye on what's happening with our school board and what's taking place with some of the school board leadership, and more particularly with what is happening right now in relationship to the narrowing down. First of all, let me ask you to introduce yourself and Moms for Liberty. Who are you? What's Moms for Liberty about? Why are you interested in the school board?
Sure. My name is Holly, and I'm a chapter chair of Moms for Liberty Duval, and we advocate for parental rights in education at all levels of government, and we are especially interested in the superintendent search because the superintendent will have a lot of power to do certain things that will truly make a difference in schools. The school police reports to the superintendent, and so the superintendent will have the ability to report incidences of crimes to JSO. Currently, there's in 2022, there was 3,000 unreported incidents of pretty serious crimes not reported to JSO, and so that's a big concern of ours. But not only that, but there are also budgetary issues that are concerning. And then just in general, how the school system is run.
Holly, I'm thankful that you and others in your position and other moms and parents, moms and dads both, are concerned and interested in the school board. I've been watching that, and I've had the privilege of interviewing some of our more conservative school board contestants and candidates that's coming up for the, I believe it's in August for the primary that they will be involved in. And it's our prayer that we can see more and more parents get involved in their child's educational process in Duval County. Holly, do you know how many proposed candidates, how many the school board interviewed for the position of school board superintendent?
I believe there was approximately 20 candidates that applied, but as far as actually interviewing, it's been the two finalists, Dr. Daniel Smith and Dr. Christopher Bernier.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me touch on a few things, peripheral though they may be, before we get into the meat of the subject with the two candidates and their characteristics and their chronology of background and academia. We have, you touched on that a moment ago, that caused me to want to delve into this a little more at the outset, about the, what did you say, over 3,000 instances that were not reported. First of all, with that being said, what is your position on school police in Duval County? Should we have a separate school police department, which is responsible to the school superintendent and the school principals rather than to law enforcement? Or would we be wise to do away with that, in your opinion, and to have JSO responsible for the school system policing?
Well, I do think it is a concern, especially based on a grand jury report in the state of Florida that made recommendations about reporting issues and did not believe that the way that the reporting is set up in Duval County was proper. As a matter of fact, the recent interim superintendent just selected Jackson Short to be the new police chief, and he was involved. There's a lot of questions about him because he was involved. There was a Kent Sturman who was he committed suicide in a scandal in 2022, and he was involved with that scandal and as far as being named in his suicide note. This was a man who had offered a young woman tickets to a concert in exchange for sexual favors, and so he's got a lot of questions. And so I know several board members did express their concerns to the interim superintendent about this. So that is something that is also pending before the board.
Well, it's been my opinion for years and years and years, two or three things that we will think on. That is that I believe it was 1980, 1981, the last time we had a school board superintendent elected by the people. I believe it was Stan Jordan, if I'm not mistaken. And since then, each time we've had a school board superintendent come in, out of the guys that he's been vetted, 2, 3, 4 years at the most, we taxpayers have to write a big check to get the school board superintendent to resign and get out of town. And I'm a little worried with that. I think we need to go back to the school board superintendent being answerable to the public by putting himself out as a candidate and receiving votes for or against to be elected for that office. Secondly, Holly, it is my opinion that our school system ought not to have a dual police system. Our school system, Duval County school system, is large enough, budgeted enough, that we need to have the JSO put on additional police officers that police the school campuses. For example, the police officers now on school campuses can't do any law enforcement. They can hold a student in a classroom or in a side room until JSO sends an officer there. And if that school police writes up a report, makes the school look bad because something has taken place, so therefore much of this is being camouflaged, just as you said earlier, with about 3,000 cases that swept under the rugs and or that's in some way modulated and modified so that it doesn't show the reality of what is taking place on our school campuses. But Holly, that's something to be worked out, and I believe could be worked out very well with the proper, with the appropriate school board superintendent going into position. It is my opinion that we need to vet these candidates and look at them, and I believe that with today's broadcast, it is my prayer that it would motivate parents to get involved, talk with the school board, and to, during the course of the broadcast, I want to ask you to give the names and email addresses or the names and telephone numbers of each of our school board members, because I'm going to invite our listeners today to call the school board members and insist on who we feel they need to vote for on the election or the appointment. Now, when will, let's set the standard here. When is the school board supposed to make the final decision? Date, time, and place.
So it will be May 23rd, that's Thursday at 9 a.m., and they're calling a special board meeting to do that.
So we've got a limited time to call on our parents to be active and let their voices be heard. Holly, tell us the name of the two candidates and just a brief thumbnail sketch, where they're from, their background, etc. Then we're going to drill down on some of them with each of these candidates. So give us the two candidates' names, where they've been serving, what they've been doing, their positions they've held, etc., etc.
Sure. So Dr. Daniel Smith was Chief of Staff and Interim Superintendent of Loudoun County Schools in Virginia. He was interim superintendent after their previous superintendent was indicted by a grand jury because of the sexual assault allegations up in Virginia. He worked in various places in Virginia. He's not worked locally in Florida. One concern that I had was that he indicated he would love to bring progressive ideas to Duval County.
Hold your thought with that, because I want to talk in depth about what does that connote, what does it mean. So what we're saying is, what you're saying then is, Daniel Smith, Dr. Daniel Smith, is from Loudoun County and Fairfax County, Virginia. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And now, and it's not a laughable thing, but it's kind of odd to me in that we're talking about this because of such a wretched condition of the school system in Virginia, especially Loudoun County and Fairfax County. In fact, I'm looking at a headline, what really happened in Loudoun County, Virginia, how a claim of sexual assault fueled a culture war. School bathroom sexual assault case seized on by the right, despite no evidence that the attacker's gender was a factor. That was a headline from a biased socialist Marxist news media. Another headline says, the Virginia Department of Education now investigates Fairfax County Public Schools for systemic noncompliance. District fails to implement the IEPs in a timely manner. And this is dated just a month ago. Fairfax County Public School, Virginia, again finds itself in the focus of a systemic noncompliance investigation. So the investigations are open. There's sexual assaults taking place. In fact, in one particular article, it says the family of the girl raped by a trans student in Loudoun County School District sues the district for $30 million. This is the kind of the big overview, as I call it, footprint behind the scenes with this individual, Daniel Smith. Now, Daniel Smith was the interim superintendent of schools, as I understand it, Holly. The previous superintendent of schools, or the one that was the superintendent of schools, I'm looking at an article that says he was interim superintendent after his previous superintendent was indicted by a grand jury. What was the indictment about? What was the story? Was it about this situation with the young girl being raped in a classroom, in a bathroom, and them trying to cover it up? Is that, am I on the right track?
That's correct. And there was not parental notification. There was not reporting. It's some of the same types of issues that we face here as far as non-reporting in Duval County.
It is a sad scenario that parents, for the most part, pay no attention to, or very little attention to. What happens when that yellow school bus picks that child up and trucks them off to a public school system? And yet, Holly, it's my belief that child, from the time is picked up on that school bus till that time that child is dropped by the front door of the home that afternoon, that the school system is totally responsible for that child's safety, well-being, as well as the proper educational system being inculcated so that that child can learn academics and not for brainwashing and indoctrination that we see taking place in our school system so much today. Is that your general feeling and thought and Moms for Liberty position?
Yes, absolutely. We believe that we don't co-parent with the government. Parents have the right to make decisions about their children. And my biggest concern about Dr. Smith is that his references are some of the same people that were involved in this situation. So that's a big concern of mine.
Holly? When you boil it down, give us a little brief scenario, if you have it, of the academic background, how long Dr. Smith has been in educational community systems. Where has he led before, other than just in, is it Fairfax County or Loudoun County that he was actually, it was Loudoun County, wasn't it?
It was Loudoun County that where he was chief of staff and interim superintendent. He's also worked in Fairfax County, Virginia. He's been a principal. He's been a teacher. So he's had background in the public schools as well, but all of that was in Virginia and various counties.
And when you get to Loudoun County and Fairfax County, correct me if I'm wrong, that's the northernmost portion of Virginia, right up at the bedroom of D.C., which I've yes. always said is the perhaps the most liberal, how would you say, portions, counties of Virginia. And it was part and parcel of the reason that Governor Youngkin won his election so handedly is because of the debauchery that had taken place in the educational system in Virginia because of the leadership of some like Daniel Smith. Now, I'm jumping to a conclusion, but I'm going to ask you a question. With all of your knowledge in relationship to Dr. Daniel Smith, is he qualified to be superintendent of schools for Duval County?
I don't believe he is qualified based on, and I listened, I met with both candidates at a meet and greet, and I listened to, you can listen to their interviews on the superintendent search website on the Duval County Public Schools website. And if you listen to the difference in the answers, he just seems over his head. But what concerned me even more, he had an issue when he was interim superintendent where a teacher was using a Bible verse in her email signature line, and mm-hmm. he claimed that that violated board policy and prohibited the teacher from using the Bible verse. And the Bible verse was, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so they determined that she could not use that Bible verse, but other teachers were allowed to use pronouns and other quotes from, you know, other people and things and pictures and things like that. So it just, it raised concerns. And when I asked him about this, he indicated he didn't remember anything about it. And so that was another concern as being open.
He had a loss of memory. I'm looking at Liberty Counsel, which is the constitutional law firm, and it's via email that was sent, a letter that was sent March 23rd, 2023, to Dr. Daniel Smith, acting superintendent of Loudoun County Public School, 21,000 Educational Court, Auburn, Virginia, et cetera, et cetera. And it says, Liberty Counsel represents, and it's redacted, a teacher in high school. We understand that Loudoun County Public School has no written policy governing email signature blocks, and by practice allows teachers to place in their signature block a variety of examples of private expression selected by and attributable to the teacher as individuals, including personally selected pronouns, quotations, pictures, and phrases. All of these are non-school sponsored private expressions of speech. However, LCPS has required then the blank for the teacher to remove her non-school sponsored private expression in her of her personal faith, a Bible verse, and you just said it was Proverbs 22:6, from her email signature block on the basis that its inclusion prohibited by the Establishment Clause. In other words, that particular case got to the point where a law firm, Liberty Counsel, got involved in it to protect the constitutional rights of the teacher because other teachers were putting in their signature blocks personal pronouns or other pronouns they wanted to use, but she couldn't use the scripture verse. And as I understand it, when Dr. Smith was asked questions on that, he had a fading memory. He didn't recall that. But hold your thought there, Holly. We're going to take the top of the hour news break for 1 minute. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, don't turn your dials. We'll be right back as we continue to discuss the school board superintendent possibility in the next 3 days. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. The Trump legal team not giving up. Mr. Trump's